I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
We're doing good. We're both getting ready for football, and I hope everything goes off as normal, and I kind of feel like, with the exception of the Hall of Fame game, we are. What were your thoughts, though, when they canceled the Hall of Fame game last week, and what does that mean as far as, you know, the timeline of football here with the NFL?
You know, that sort of signaled to me that they probably will end up eliminating a couple of the preseason games. I don't know. That just seemed the precursor to that. There's been talk they'll go from 4-2, and it led me to believe that perhaps that will happen.
A lot of buzz about Odell Beckham right now, Mary Kay, and I like it. He sounds really determined. He sounds really focused. And I honestly think even a guy, you know, he had a chance last year. He played all 16 games. I still think he has a lot to prove, not as a member of the Browns, but just as a guy who was so good for his first 3 years. And I think because of injuries, the last 3 years, not quite that same level. And I would think he's going to be so motivated to have a great season this year.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that he's kind of wrapped his head around being here now. Last year at this time, he was obviously still struggling with the trade, and he just wasn't into it emotionally yet. I think now he's excited to be here. I think he's excited about this Kevin Stefanski offense. I think he sees that he can have a big role in it. I think that he sees how Baker Mayfield can excel in it, which I think is obviously key. And so I do believe the coaches and Odell when they say that he's all in and he's really excited about this.
I'm just curious, Mary Kay, just because I read a story this morning, and I think it was USA Today was talking about, you know, they were doing projections for the season and you know, just kind of looking ahead. And the big pitfall they had for the Browns was Kevin Stefanski. And it wasn't so much that it was Kevin, you know, just for what he does as a coach. It's all about the first year and what's going on with COVID and how that'll set the Browns back. Do you believe that? Because I wasn't buying it when I was reading the story.
Well, you know, if you heard Kevin Stefanski when he talked to us last week, he said, "I'm comfortable with being uncomfortable." And I have found that to be true of him so far. He's not flinched through any of this. He's had to guide a team through the whole COVID-19 thing and also throughout the racial strife that has gone on in our country. And I think he's done a wonderful job of all of that. And sometimes I marvel at the fact that he's only 38 years old. He seems to me to be a much more mature, experienced, wise individual than you would maybe think of for someone who's a first-time coach at the age of 38. So I think that he can handle this as well as any other first-time head coach. Now, of course, I think other head coaches who have, you know, had some experience in the NFL might be ahead of the game a little bit, just in terms of they know what to expect every minute of the day when it comes to everything that they have to handle on their plate. He doesn't know all that yet, but he just seems to me sort of unflappable and ready to handle this challenge.
Mary Kay, we had Mike Martz on the show a week or so ago, and I asked him about play calling with Kevin Stefanski and play calling as a head coach. And you know, he was the offensive coordinator for Dick Vermeil, and then called the plays, became head coach. And he said, "I continued to call the plays, and I didn't give my assistant coaches enough authority, enough things to do." And he said, "It was ludicrous." And in hindsight, he's looking back, and he said it was a stupid thing for him to do. And He said, you can call the plays as a head coach as long as you delegate with everything else. And I thought that was really interesting because many coaches, you know, you might hear a guy say, no, 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 you can't call the plays as well. He thought you certainly could as long as you didn't do everything else like he thought he was stupid. Now, looking back, what do you think Kevin Stefanski is going to be? Go for that yet?
No, I mean, I think heading in, the original plan was to give Alex Van Pelt every opportunity to be the play caller and have Kevin Stefanski be more of the CEO coach overlooking the whole process, which I think was a pretty good strategy. Now it's up in the air because, you know, I think that there are a lot of factors to consider, including if it's going to be a little bit less organized in the beginning just because of COVID, that maybe you don't want Alex Van Pelt to have to take the responsibility for that. Maybe Kevin Stefanski will want to, you know, take the criticism for anything that might happen in the first couple games if they're not 100% up to speed. So there are a lot of ways to approach it and look at it. I really do think that when Kevin Stefanski makes the decision, it will be based on one thing and one thing only, and that is who is actually best to accomplish the task of getting the plays called. And it's not going to be about ego. It's not going to be about anything else other than who's the best man for that job at that particular time.
All right, Mary Kay, I'm going to go off the rails here for just for 2 seconds. Did you really publish your story today at 5 a.m., or is that an auto thing where you submit a story in early? I'm reading.
I'm not up at 5 a.m.
Okay, I'm just like, Mary Kay, you are the most dedicated person on this earth if you stayed up all night and printed this thing at 5 o'clock this morning.
Well, sometimes I do, but in this sure. particular case, I set that up actually ahead of time. So, yes, with technology today, we can do those exciting and wonderful things.
I just wanted to make sure. That just caught my eye. Normally, stuff like that doesn't catch my eye. I was like, man, Mary Kay is, like, killing it. She's at 5 o'clock in the morning. She's putting out these questions about Odell Beckham Jr. Let me throw another one at you. First of all, your thoughts of Cam Newton landing in New England, and do you believe the Browns were in the mix, or the Browns actually talked to him about perhaps coming here to Cleveland?
I'm excited that he landed in New England. I think that's great for the league. I think it was important for him to get back into the league. I hope he has an opportunity to play. He's such an exciting player. He brings a lot of attention, you know, to the team he plays for, to himself, to the NFL. And, you know, I've enjoyed watching him over the years. I've actually, you know, sat one-on-one and talked to him before at the Super Bowl once. So, you know, I root for him, and I'm glad he's back. As far as whether or not the Browns actually talked to him, I have obviously looked into that. And at this point, I just don't have any evidence that happened. So I haven't written anything about that yet, per se, because I just don't see anywhere that it's happening. I don't like to repeat things like that unless I know that they're true. So until I know a little bit more about that, I'm not going to, I'm not going to aggregate that one.
So I can't ask you about it.
Well, you guys, you can ask me about it, but
right.
Like I said, at this point, I just don't have concrete evidence that took place. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't. I don't know that it did.
And Mary Kay, neither do we. When I saw those reports, I thought, all right, I would have to think if that's true, and I agree with you. Until I know for sure, I'm not going to buy into it. But if it's true, my thought was, well, good for Andrew Berry. He's doing what you're supposed to do and check out interesting players who might be able to help your team. But I thought there's no way Cam Newton would come to Cleveland flat out to be a backup. I would think he'd sit out and wait. And if I'm the Browns, I'm not calling him, Mary Kay, to say you've got a chance to come in here and win the starting job. Would you? So it almost just seems like if it actually happened, Andrew was just saying, hey, Cam doesn't have any interest in coming here to be the backup, does he?
Yeah, you know what? Let me just say that the whole thing didn't really make that much sense to me, and that's why I haven't written it.
Me too.
If I believe something is true, I really dig into it and try to find out and make sure and confirm. And you know, I'm just not there yet. So there are things about it that doesn't, you know, that don't really add up to me. So therefore, at this point, it hasn't risen to the level yet of me writing that happened. Not saying that I won't get there, But at this point, I'm not, you know, I'm just not there.
It does seem kind of weird, though. Like, I'm just like, this is just typical barroom conversation here. So I'm just like, you know, to think, all right, well, maybe the Browns, if they were looking at, it's their job to look at every player that's out there and say,
sure.
Right? It's their job to say, I'm going to look at every player who's available to our team, and can we use them, and they, would they make us a better team? But it does make me wonder just a little bit about Baker Mayfield. And, I mean, I feel like there's an unbelievably strong commitment to him, but it is the NFL. So I just wonder what the scenario would be for Baker to fall out of favor, because I do think that from everything he said, everything seems like it's going in the right direction. And then I'll ask you with this question. When we go back to the misfortunes of last year for Baker Mayfield, how much of that is just miscommunication among having a million voices in your head? And will that be that way this year?
No, it won't be that way this year. And they really do believe that Baker Mayfield, they're not just giving lip service to it. These guys are committed to him. They really believe that he's going to flourish in this offense, and they've surrounded him with everything he could possibly need to be successful in this offense. And, you know, the offense requires smarts, it requires accuracy, it requires, you know, some mobility, and he has all of the things he needs to be very, very successful in this play-action-based scheme. And if you just look at even the play-action numbers last year, they were just vastly different than his non-play action numbers, and he'll be in more of that type of thing. They'll support him more with the run. He's got two new tackles, so they have every reason to believe that he is their quarterback of the future, their franchise quarterback, that he'll land that big next contract. I don't think they're thinking any other way at this point.
Mary Kay, other than something like, you know, can Jedrick Wills move from the right side to the left and be productive at a really young age at left tackle in the NFL? I don't really have any questions about the Browns offense other than this one. Do you think they can figure out a way to make Kareem Hunt more than a complementary piece in the offense? Because I think that could be the key to the entire offensive success. If they can make Kareem a big-time player while still keeping Nick Chubb a big-time player and Odell and Jarvis and everybody else. And I don't think it'll be easy, but I think it's going to be critical because Kareem is so much better than just like a third down back in somebody's compliment.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that Kevin Stefanski at the end of the Zoom call that we had with him last week admitted that it is on his mind and the mind of the staff how they are going to divvy up the pie. It is really just a fact that they've got a lot of guys that they've got to try to get the ball to. And, you know, and the fact that they've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you know, that just adds a whole new dynamic to what goes on in the backfield. It's not just that they have to keep Odell and Jarvis happy and fed. They've got two really good running backs. And Kareem is a lot more than a third down back. I mean, he obviously can run between the tackles and do all the things that Nick Chubb can do as well. He's a great runner and led the NFL in rushing as a rookie. So, you know, they've got two top-notch running backs, and they are going to have to figure out how to divide that up. But fortunately for them, Kareem can do so many other things that they will be able to, I think, find creative ways to get them both on the field. But, you know, you're not going to always be able to have, you know, Kareem and Nick and Odell and Jarvis and Austin Hooper and David Njoku. I mean, it's, you know, there's just not enough spaces for everybody on any given down. So they are going to have to figure this out. And you know, I think they will. They just have to possess the ball long enough, I guess, to make everyone happy.
Mary Kay, I guess it's like a weekly question I'm going to ask you. Just your gut feeling, and I know it kind of goes back to the first question I asked you, but your gut feeling on the regular season going off on time.
You know what? It seems to me that the NFL has made a very strong push for normalcy, for starting on time, for having fans in the stands, and for doing all of those sorts of things. So I'm going to say that I think that they will proceed with the regular season on time for right now. But things are changing very quickly in the COVID landscape, as we all know. And I think that what happens with the other sports will help inform what happens with the NFL. And even today, J.C. Treader is, you know, putting some things out saying, you know, let's all realize here that the most important thing is player safety, and we still have hurdles to cross. So I'm going to say right now, I think that the season will start on time and that they will get through it. But again, nobody can really say for sure.
You think they'd expand game day rosters, Mary Kay? I mean, could there be some fundamental changes before they get to the season on things like that? Or do you think they're locked in?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think there's, you know, so many things that could happen, you know, before we actually get to the point of fielding a football team. And, you know, nobody even knows real sure. I mean, they're saying that training camp is going to start on time. And the NFL, again, has been very consistent in keeping forging ahead, pushing forward, you know, moving ahead and saying, this is it. We are not going to let this virus stop us from getting this game going. But, you know, like I said, you know, J.C. Treader, you know, comes out today and sort of sounds the caution now to say, okay, that's all well and good, but before that happens, you know, we need plenty of player protection.
Two more quick things before we let you go. Jadeveon Clowney update, because we're always going to ask you that.
Yes, we are.
We're going to ask you until we see signs of the team.
It still seems like it's in a bit of a holding pattern right now. I just don't think that, you know, anything's about to happen in the next 2 hours, but of course, also those things can change on a dime, because what teams seem to be waiting on right now is some sort of a decision from Jadeveon Clowney himself. And no one can really predict what's going on in his mind or why he hasn't really, you know, kind of come through to let people or teams know exactly what it is he wants to do. So I think people are just kind of waiting for that.
All right, I'm going to set you up for a headline then. Do you think there's a chance he ends up with the Browns?
Oh, there you go, Mary Kay. All set
Sorry,
up.
I had to set you up with a headline question.
I thought all along and said all along that I still do think that there is a chance that he ends up with the Browns, because, you know, his options are dwindling in other places. The money is drying up a little bit in other places, and they have the money to sign him and the desire to do so. So when all is said and done, I still do think they have a chance.
Do you want to put a percentage on that?
Sure. I'll go 50-50 right now.
There you go.
Okay,
yes.
That's fair. All right, last one. David Njoku, there were some rumors about him last week kind of floating around there that he could get traded to the Jaguars.
You know what?
Rumor.
That was a proposed trade. That was one of those off-season, hey, here are some trades that, you know, maybe, you know, could happen. It wasn't really a report as much as it was, hey, why not try this? It was speculative. I don't have a sense that is something that is on the burner.
Real, nothing real. Mary Kay, we love having you on. We got to figure out what the headline is going to be off this one. So 50-50, how's that sound? Good?
Sounds good.
All right, Mary Kay, thank you so much. We always appreciate your time, and we always look forward to talking to you Tuesdays at 11. So, Mary Kay, thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.